Please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Truth, lies, shenanigans. Truth, lies, shenanigans.
Hey, welcome to Truth, Lies, Shenanigans, the live streaming podcast. We're your favorite hosts. Bring us the most interesting topics of the week to discuss and ask the question, is this truth, lies, or shenanigans? And of course, we always try to have fun with some shenanigans of our own along the way with amazing guests, games, and spirited conversation. My name is Neo Nix, and for today's show, we have a special guest here to answer all of your pet questions. Our old friend, veterinarian Robin Johnson, a.k.a. Dr. J. And we also have Mayor Patrick back. In our main topic today, and also our TLSFans.com topic submitted by Jacqueline Robinson, we're discussing that crazy Alec Baldwin shooting on the set of the movie Rust. In Quickfire, we're talking about the struggles with the Biden agenda, the hockey player Evander Kane, who was suspended for COVID violations, and the cops who killed a Black Ohio man for sleeping in his car. As always, we'll end the show with Shenanigans the Game Show. Today's game is Ask, where we'll ask our host a bunch of random and revealing questions. Don't forget, you can stick around for our post-show discussions in our after show, which streams live exclusively on our TLSFans.com Facebook group. Now, before we get into our show, I always have to introduce you to our fantastic hosts. For the next hour, our gamer, tech guru, and bona fide rock star with the rock band Fallen Machine, coming to you from Sudbury, Ontario, Mr. Robbie Rock.
What's up? What's up? Happy Sunday fun day, everyone. It's been an interesting week in my community. Just to give you an idea, one day we went from 28 degrees to 72 degrees. So a bit of a fluctuation throughout the day. We got our first snowfall, which thankfully did not stay. There was a community alert that was issued for one of our more rural roads because a pig got loose, and there was a warning to motorists to be on the lookout for it. And a moose crashed a garage party. A couple of guys were just hanging out in the garage having some pops when a moose popped in, looked around, and decided that it didn't want to be part of this hang and just got the fuck out.
Canadian problems, boy. Canadian and, problems.
Right. Well, I mean, this is a more rural northern community. So.
Okay.
And all of these stories can be confirmed, which is wonderful. I love my city. I mean, it's suburban. So there's people and pigs. Be on the lookout.
All right. Our professor, journalist, editor, and sports intern mentor at ESPN, Ms. Lizzie Ender.
What's up, everyone? Happy Sunday, fun day. The Washington football team, they're getting their asses whooped right now by the Green Bay Packers. So we are done with them for the season, y'all. Season is over, all right? But just to let you know, there is only one more week to Halloween, the best day of the year. Neo, you got your costume?
Of course. Of course I do. Costume? All right. I'm all set for Halloween, yep.
Robbie, got your costumes ready?
I've been going over things. I found a new cool mask this season. I'm really, really excited to showcase that one.
And what about you, Mr. Mayor? You got a costume ready?
Yeah, so I got a great costume last year. What I did was because I wanted to have a costume with a mask. So I found a mask that is a clown face, and I got the clown costume to go around it. And I'm excited we're going to have a drive-through trick or treat. So I get to be the clown. Some people think since I'm a politician, I'm a clown all the time. So I might as well live up to that.
the evil clown or the nice clown?
Maybe I should go with the evil clown.
Maybe.
No, right, he's going to be a nice clown. I don't want to scare all the kids.
And as a perfect
pictures, Mayor.
As a perfect segue, we have back with us today guest hosting for Gianni Storm, everyone's favorite mayor out of College Park, Maryland, Mayor Patrick Woyan, welcome back as always.
Thank you, Neil. So this is point counterpoint to Lizzie. Well, and I'm not going to argue that the Washington football team is done for the year, but I am a Packers fan, born and raised in Wisconsin. So I am excited that the Packers are picking.
The Mayor Patrick versus Lizzie Enders on the field right now.
Keep it nice. We're going to keep it nice on this fine Sunday afternoon, at least up until the game show. At least up until the game
show. Then it gets real.
All right, perfect.
And then the gloves come off.
All right, let's get into our quick fire. This season, our hosts share a topic, but we only have 3 minutes to discuss and 1 minute for audience comments. So please type those comments fast. I've also added a mute button for anyone that decides to keep talking after time is up. So let's do it. All right. I'm talking Luke Stewart. Luke Stewart is a 23-year-old black man in Ohio who was illegally sleeping in his legally parked car in 2017 when officers Matthew Rhodes and Louis Catalini did not announce themselves as officers and opened Luke's car, trying to forcibly remove him. Surprised, Luke struggled and attempted to drive away. Rhodes then jumped into the passenger seat, punched him, tasered him 6 times, hit him in the head with the taser, and then shot him 5 times, killing him. All this in about 1 minute, with Luke never hitting back. Neither officer has been charged or disciplined, and the civil lawsuit has now been thrown out because of qualified immunity, which is a defense that law enforcement can use to avoid monetary damages for alleged civil rights violations, basically saying that they are immune if the law they violated isn't, quote, clearly established. So my question to you guys, can anyone please explain why qualified immunity makes any sense? Start with Robbie.
Oh, sure. Pick on the Canadian kid. I mean, I didn't understand qualified immunity when you presented it as a topic. I've read up on it over the last couple of hours while I'm doing my homework, and I don't know that I have a firmer grasp on qualified immunity, but it looks like it's something that was really meant to protect officers from gray areas and unforeseen changes in the law, but it seems to be abused in its application, from what I'm seeing.
Lizzie?
I think that's a justifiable explanation, Rob. It has a lot of gray areas. It's something, in my experience, isn't necessarily used that often. I'm not necessarily as concerned about the qualified immunity here. I'm more concerned about the fact that the grand jury came back and decided not to indict this officer for what he did. It is, at least it was presented, you know, to the grand jury that when he knocked on the door of Mr. Stewart's car, on the window of Mr. Stewart's car, he didn't identify himself as a police officer. Right. Mr. Stewart asked him, "Why are you in my car?" And he decided to jump in anyway and assault this young man, ended up killing him. So I'm more concerned about that in what was the grand jury thinking in that they decided they weren't going to indict him. So not only is there, will there be no civil liability attached, but no criminal liability as well.
Yeah, let me get Mayor Patrick in.
Yeah, so this is actually a big issue, qualified immunity in Maryland this last year, where it really held up. There was an attempt to do some reform to the rules governing police, and it held it up and really got it stuck because of that. And ultimately, they ended up not repealing qualified immunity. But basically, the rule says that you have to have an established, well-established rule that the police are violating. The problem is that what well-established rule is really subjective. And in this case, you would think that taking a guy who's sleeping in the back of his car and then killing him would be a rule against that. But apparently, it's not so clear.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. Let me get to these comments online. Yeah, I don't even need to comment on it. I totally agree with what you're saying. All right. So, Mike Winter, this definitely needs to kill. They definitely need to kill a man who is sleeping in his car, protecting and serving at its finest. Qualified immunity, my ass. Also, that is not all within the scope of their duties as officers of the peace. Qualified immunity is to protect all government workers who are acting in the scope of their duties. Jacqueline Robbins says our Supreme Court is all for it. Yeah. Qualified immunity just makes absolutely no sense to me personally, but it is what it is. Are we calling this truth, lies, or shenanigans? I'm going with definite lies. Sorry, we don't have your paddles. What do you go? Truth, lies, or shenanigans?
Shenanigans. I'm only shenanigans.
I got lies. What you got, Robbie?
I got truth and shenanigans. It's a sad truth, and there's definitely some shenanigans going on.
Lizzie, what was yours?
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. All right. Let's get on to our second quick fire topic. All right, Robbie.
All right. So the NHL has rightfully suspended 30-year-old San Jose Sharks power forward Evander Kane for 21 games for submitting a fake COVID-19 vaccination card. So because of this, Kane will be forfeiting about $1.68 million of his $7 million salary for this season, with the money going to the Players Emergency Assistance Fund. So my question to the panel is, what should the Sharks do about Kane? And if they trade him away, who would want him? Incidentally, San Jose just lost to the Bruins 4-3 just prior to the show.
Your team, the Bruins. Let's start with Lizzie.
Just saying.
Lizzie.
Why does Evander Kane refuse to do right? Why does he refuse to do right? He just got cleared of gambling, excessive gambling by the NHL, which was an allegation that was brought forth by his soon-to-be ex-wife. Right after that, she filed a restraining order against him, saying, accusing him of domestic violence and episodes of sexual assault. Now he's, you know, creating fake vaccination cards. Like, what in the hell? What is going on? But as we've seen on numerous occasions, he's a talented athlete. So I don't doubt for a fact that once this suspension is over with the Sharks, if they release him, somebody else will pick him up. As long as it's not the Washington Capitals, I'm good.
Mayor Patrick, what are your thoughts?
So what I don't get of this is there's not even a vaccination requirement in place for the players. So why did he submit this false proof of vaccination? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it could be like the NHL doesn't have one in place, but individual states do, or individual cities in states, kind of like what we're seeing with Kyrie Irving. So he could have, you know, wanted to get in front of that situation, but he's a mess. He's a mess. But go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, yeah. So the choices are trade or keep him. Can they just fire his ass and get him out of there?
Right. Waivers.
I guess he's on a contract for 7 years.
He's under contract. Yeah.
Isn't there a termination for breach of contract or something? There's got to be some rules to that contract.
I'm with Mayor Patrick.
I don't think
it covers the vaccine.
I don't think it covers vaccine cards yet. We haven't caught up to COVID yet. Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Robbie?
Well, like Lizzie was saying, Kane is no stranger to controversy. And I know that they posted an apology on his behalf where he owns up saying, I made a mistake, and he's participating in counseling to help him make better decisions in the future. But you didn't make a mistake. You fabricated a lie. You went out of your way to provide falsified documents. That's not a mistake. That's a goddamn plan that you executed. So, I don't know, put him on waivers, get rid of him, because it's someone who just doesn't have the interests of the team at heart.
All right.
I love the timing on that.
Let's get to some of these comments online. So the breach of contract issue on Kane is dependent on CBA. And that was from Reuven Gorin. And then Olivia also says, well, it's illegal to make a fake COVID card. So why don't they let him be prosecuted? Interesting. All right. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans?
Oh, man. What'd you say, Patrick?
I got
the lies.
I'd say lies. And he's telling lies.
All right.
Okay, so Patrick and I both agree. Lies. The devil is a liar.
Shenanigans. Trying to cheat. Got shenanigans. All right. Let's get on to our third and final quick fire. Mayor Patrick, you're up.
All right. So this is a complicated thing, but there's basically the entire Democrats' agenda relies on these infrastructure bills that they're hoping to pass. The first one has bipartisan support, but what's holding it up is that there are a number of more progressive Democrats who don't want it to move forward until this bigger package that's under consideration, which is the bipartisan agreement has physical infrastructure, roads and highways and transit in it. The second piece has all the social stuff like community education, childcare, all sorts of stuff to help us get out of the pandemic. What's holding that up is these two people in the Senate, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, known as being the moderate Democrats. But they have held this bill hostage because that bill is being passed on a partisan basis by the Democrats only. They need every single Democrat on board. And Manchinima, as they're known, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, are demanding things, and nobody really is quite sure exactly what they're demanding. So the article that I shared showed that they're getting a lot of money from lobbyists that are helping shape shape what their positions on this bill are going to be. So I'd love to hear your thoughts,
Robbie.
Well, when I was reading up on it, Manchin said that he's not against Biden's desire to enact social reforms, but he's balking at the price point on it. He's thinking less than half of the $3.5 trillion that's been proposed. And Sinema, from what I'm seeing, her objectives haven't been made public, but she's getting a lot more FaceTime at the White House and people are talking about her. So I guess that's kind of good. But I know that her supporters are getting ready to jump ship on her too. Like, if she does not help move this forward, then they're going to be going ahead with a pledge of a non-confidence vote. So someone's trying to keep her in check.
Yeah. Lizzie?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. This happens on both sides, both Republicans and Democrats. I think a lot of times we just get shocked, okay, because there's this idea in this country that everything that the Republicans do is evil. Everything that the Democrats do is good. But to me, this just falls in line with, no offense, Patrick, this falls in line with a lot of politicians. This falls in line with a lot of politicians, at least ones in Washington. Patrick's in College Park. But it does not surprise me that, you know, they are.
You might be in Washington soon.
Okay. And so we expect better, Patrick, if you make it to Washington. We expect better, damn it. But it doesn't really surprise me that they're doing a filibuster, if you will, holding things up while pocketing money on the side. Like, it's just, it's Capitol Hill. It's the Capitol Hill way. What we need is other Democrats to speak out about it and put some pressure on them. We need constituents to speak out about this mess and put pressure on them.
We're out of time, but I just want to say, I will say that I get frustrated with Democrats where, you know, Republicans, of course, it happens on both sides, but Republicans tend to be more unified when the time comes. And Democrats, unfortunately, I feel sometimes get lost in all of the money and all of the politics of it. And, you know, because how long are we going to hold the Senate and the House?
Right. But
Mayor Patrick, your thoughts? I'm going to give you about 20 seconds.
So, I mean, I just really think that the fact that it's come down to this, that we're in a system that's so polarized and divided that it really comes down that we need now to get a lot of this is very popular stuff that's in the bill. I mean, we're talking about childcare, we're talking about education, things that are universally popular. Yeah. But the fact that two people can hold it up really shows kind of how messed up our system
is. All right. So as far as Manchinima, Mike Winter says, moderate is not the right term. Bought and paid for is more like it. Jacqueline Robinson says, Arizona Democrats, someone slipped a joker in your deck. I don't expect much from Manchin, but Sinema is appalling. The stunt queen who needs to be primaried. Mike Winter pointed out, I didn't shush myself. I mean, they did use a... Lizzie and Robbie used all my time to get up one comment. All right.
So what say we on Manchinima?
Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans?
What you say, Patrick?
Shenanigans.
Yep, I'm all about shenanigans on this one.
Shenanigans.
It's all about shenanigans. All right. Great. Those were some great, great topics. Thank you, Patrick, for that topic. Just want to let you know our sponsor for Quick Fire today was Good Stuff Juices, making the world a better place with their organic, cold-pressed, flavorful juices, which are made every morning in their juice factory. Try out their new fall juices at goodstuffjuices.com. Delivery is available nationwide in the U.S. All right, it is time for our guest.
Dr. Joy!
Our guest spotlight today is Dr. Robin Johnson, a.k.a. the lovely Dr. J. How you doing, Dr. J? Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. Let me reintroduce you to our friend, Dr. Robin Johnson, DVM, who we lovingly call Dr. J. She's a graduate from Michigan State University College of Veterinary Medicine. She enjoys emergency medicine, and she's a bit of an adrenaline junkie, even practicing overseas in Thailand to work with cows and horses. These days, you'll find her in the emergency room at Rocky Gorge Animal Hospital in Laurel, Maryland, and spending time with shelter animals. And today, she's going to talk to us about pets, answering all your questions. Thanks for coming back, Dr. Jay. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to give you a chance to tell more about yourself if you have something else to say, but I got to ask you, please tell us something that we can't Google about you.
Okay, something you can't Google about me would be that I originally was at the crossroads of veterinary medicine and civil engineering. I've considered being a civil engineer.
Wow, civil engineer versus veterinary medicine. What made you switch?
Love the animals.
I figure that's always a good reason. All right, so I'm going to ask the first question, and I'm going to just go straight to it. I'm going to go deep. So you've helped me put down one of my dogs. You personally have helped me put down one of my dogs. And it was one of the hardest things I had to do. And I'm sure it's tough for most dog owners to make that decision to either kind of let them live a few more weeks or months, potentially in pain, or do an expensive surgery, might extend their lives a short period and not work at all, or make that decision to put them to sleep now. Not an easy decision. So I want to know, how do you deal with that with your patients or your owners? And have you ever disagreed with a colleague or owner about putting down an animal? And how do you deal with that? And that question comes from Olivia.
So it is a difficult time in an owner and a pet's life when you're faced with that decision, whether it be due to illness, due to finances, or due to something else. I think of it as a tool to end suffering for that patient so that they do not have to be in any more pain or discomfort than they are already in. I think of it as the final gift that we can give to our four-legged friends that they do not have to go through extended illnesses. And, you know, I think that every owner comes to that point. You know, it's a turmoil time for them. And if they've come to that point and made that decision, then they have made it. And, you know, sometimes there's nothing more that can be said. Sometimes you may, you know, want to, you know, give this pet, you know, another treatment or a little bit more time, but it's not my decision to make. And so, you know, I have to just, you know, respect the wishes of the owner.
Yeah. I know when I left your office that day, that was like the dog, her name was Ebony, and she's had her when she was like a little puppy in my hand. And I remember that day, and I when I left your office, I honestly could not stop crying. I was like in my car and I was just bawling for a good, I just had to been a good, almost a good half hour. Like I had to stop driving. It's tough. It's a tough thing to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very emotional time for owners. It's a very emotional time for us as veterinarians. You know, we know that it is, you know, for a lot of these pets and these owners, I mean, for me, an emergency, I don't necessarily have that relationship with every owner that comes in because they're coming in on an emergency basis. But when I do work on my gen med side, my general medicine practice, then these are owners and pets that I have treated for years. So it is also emotional for us too to say goodbye because, you know, that we've treated this pet for 10, 20 years even.
Yeah, extremely. Yeah. I see Jose says extremely emotional for all involved. All right. Robbie, question?
Well, I'm going to take this in a lighter direction for my first question. Why does my cat randomly pee on my stuff?
So there can be lots of different reasons for cats to do what we call inappropriate elimination. The first is to rule out a medical reason. Make sure there's not a urinary tract infection going on. Once you rule out the medical reason, then you're stuck with behavioral. And that's a little bit more tricky to deal with because there's a lot of different reasons for behavior. Sometimes they see another cat on the outside of the window and it's an aggression thing. They're like, hey, get away from my, you know, house. Sometimes it is like if there is a new stressor in the house, like a new baby. You brought in a new piece of furniture things like that, so that smells. Can cause.
I could see smells.
Yeah, smells. And then sometimes some cats, you know, just don't have any more F's to give, and you know, they just.
Does fixing them, does that help for cats? I know it helps with dogs, but does it help with cats?
It can't. Well, there's a difference between spraying and inappropriate elimination. So if the cat is spraying because it's intact and it's marking its territory, then yes, neutering will or spaying will fix that. But if it's truly inappropriate elimination, then it may not change that.
Inappropriate elimination. You mean peeing all over Rob's
stuff? I love that term.
That's appropriate elimination. I know Jose's probably saying that's appropriate.
Shut up. it gets Jose's stuff too. So that's going to be the catchphrase now. Past inappropriate evacuation. Inappropriate.
Eliminating what's in its body or eliminating the things that it's urinating on.
Right. It's eliminating Rob's use of them. Right. All right, Mayor Patrick, you have a question.
Yeah, I am. I'd love to hear more about this pandemic has been a weird and challenging time for all of us. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen? I think people have probably come to depend more on their pets during the pandemic because of being stuck at home and all that. I mean, how have pets reacted to this time? What have you seen? What has changed about being a veterinarian during the during this pandemic?
That's a loaded question. This pandemic has totally affected veterinary medicine across the board in many ways. The first being that yes, people did go out and get more pets. They said, "Hey, we're home. We don't want to be home by ourselves. Let's get a friend. We always wanted a dog. Let's get a dog now." So you have, one, an increase in the number of pets. Two, that also has, we were considered essential workers. So we were still going to work.
That's right.
We were still open. You have so many hours in a day to work. Okay. And so then you have more pets trying to get into the same number of slots. And then in order to become COVID compliant, most hospitals had to change their protocols a little bit and actually kind of decrease the number of slots available so that they could maintain proper disinfection and all of those things. So you have more pets trying to get into a little bit less time. So, there's been a longer waits, much longer waits to get, your general medicine appointments before where you could call up and get an appointment in like a day. Now it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks maybe to get that appointment. And in turn, on the emergency side, since people couldn't get into their regular vet, we are seeing much longer wait times, where you're getting really, truly up to 5, 6, 7, 8 hour wait times to get into the emergency room or even longer, depending on the emergency place. So that has been one big thing that's changed. Two, the pets, some of these pets were not so happy that these owners were home.
That's what Mike Winter just said. That Mike Winter just said that in the comments.
Yes, that they, I would say that I have seen an increase of stress related problems, foreign body ingestions, blocked cats, so cats who can't urinate. And forget inappropriate urination, it can't be at all. A lot of like foreign body ingestions, a lot of, kind of self traumas, like stress related things. They weren't used to having these people home. The flip side of that is now that people are going back to work a little bit, we're seeing separation anxiety type things. So destructive behaviors. A lot of these pets, particularly the new pets, because you were socially distanced, you weren't outside as much. These pets aren't quite socialized as much as they should have been. So we're seeing a lot of behavior issues. So it's been a very trying time in this world, in our world. It's been unprecedented, labor shortages. So, people had to, either they were sick and they came down with COVID and they're out. I mean, COVID took out whole hospitals, not ours, but, whole hospitals had to shut down. Mm-hmm. And then you have, because this is a very largely female occupation at the moment. You know, those of us with children, you had to start to manage, hey, these kids were home and online and they had to go to school. And so, you know, a lot of the female veterinarians, you know, had to reduce their hours or change their schedules because they had home duties now.
Wow. There's been a lot of stuff going on. And so it's affected the veterinarians a lot. All right. So there's one question from Flora Vanessa Leal about cats again. She asks, why do my cats keep eating random inedible things?
Like tape. So, like sticky tape.
I do find that cats tend to like plastic. They tend to like plastic things a lot. I don't know. When I had my cats, you know, you had to keep the plastic bags away and the tops to things. Sometimes it is, you know, just they're bored and it's there. Sometimes there is some type of smell on it. So you may not be able to, like, you know, you got to remember our pets can smell way better than we can. So if it was happened to be next to some food or next to something that smelled yummy, they can still smell that. And then if they're young, you know, just like little kids, they're, you know, exploring their world and everything goes in their mouth, just like little kids. And so, you know, if you have a cat who's doing that, you just really need to be very vigilant on making sure they don't have access and having appropriate toys.
Lizzie, what's your question?
So just to clarify or to piggyback on that, I have a cat. Everyone, I think, who knows me knows Remy. I get a lot of packages here. And so once I get a box, once I get a package that has any type of packaging tape or whatever, I have to throw it away immediately because for some reason he's obsessed with it. He eats it and then throws it up like maybe a day or two later. So it's a horrible cycle. So Remy was sick a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. Turns out he had a kidney infection. And so in thinking about at that time, whether or not I might have had to put him down. Like Neo said, like I was a wreck, like a complete wreck. He had three veterinary visits in about 3.5 weeks to the tune of $1,600. So I'm telling everyone, please get pet insurance because I did get reimbursed $1,100 of that, which made things a lot easier. But since then, he's fine. He's doing very well. He's back to biting me. He's back to knocking things over, you know, licking my face, scratching, eating my hair, all those things. But what he's now developed is he never farted before. He never had any type of
farts before. And
no. At least I didn't smell it unless he was doing it when I wasn't here. Now he's farting. Not only that, it smells like skunk. So, Robin, do you know what that is? Like, is that normal? Should I be concerned?
So, I'm assuming that you said he had an infection. So, I'm assuming he was on antibiotics. So, there may be a change to his GI tract the bacteria that's in his GI tract. So, you know, there is some overgrowth maybe or a new bacteria that's in there that wasn't in there before. So you could consider, you know, trying to add like some probiotics. They make a ton of them on the market. And try adding a probiotic and kind of getting the good bacteria back in that GI tract. If you said it was skunky smell, like the other question would be, could it be anal glands? And cats have anal glands too. We think of it mostly with dogs, but cats do too. So, you know, the question is there an anal gland issue? Because again, you know, those antibiotics do change. I mean, they not only do they go after the bad bacteria that they're meant to fight, they can also affect the good bacteria, which can give you changes in your normal flora.
Wow.
Yeah, it's if you were to walk into my house when he's having one of his episodes, you would be like, okay, is there a skunk in here or does she smoke really bad weed? Which is nice.
So which is it?
Neither. I don't smoke. And
your cat's smoking up when you're out of the house.
Bad catnip. All the bad catnip.
All bad catnip.
That's my second question, Robin, because I have a cat who really does not like catnip. It does nothing for him. And it's been that way since I've had him since he was 2.5 months. He's never, you know, taken a liking to catnip. Is that normal? Or most cats, or because all I hear is get them some good catnip.
So, I mean, it's just like, you know, just like in people. I mean, some things you have a good receptor to and you love it, and some things you don't. So, there are cats who are not affected by catnip. I have not yet run across that cat personally. My cats loved it. And someone gave me fresh catnip once, like the whole plant. And boy, I had to put it in the freezer to prevent any damage.
There's another question online that came on mypetshenanigans.com. What are special considerations to keep in mind for a tripod dog, one hind leg, as they age?
So you definitely want to keep into mind a couple things. Is that one, you only got three good legs, so you want to definitely protect those at all costs. Using a good glucosamine chondroitin supplement to help, you know, put the building blocks of the cushions of your joints. You want to keep those joints healthy. You want to keep the weight down, so there's less to carry on those three good legs. And then, you know, making the surfaces as slip-free as possible. So, you know, rugs are necessary. They even have this little product that you could put on their little paws to, like, help prevent sliding. So, you know, you could even consider that so that they're not, you know, slipping and causing any other accidents.
Another question. How often, this is from Mel Blaine, how often should you brush your dog's teeth? I think I'm obsessive.
In a perfect world, I tell my owners all the time, in a perfect world, they would get brushed like we do every day.
Every day.
Twice
a day? Every day, twice a day, or just every day?
At least once a day. Okay, and in the real world, I'm happy if it happens several times a week. You know, I would say that, you know, in my house, my dog is really cute. She does not get her teeth brushed as much. She is low on that totem pole because I have to fight the other two and make sure that they always have their teeth brushed. So
it is a challenge to sometimes brush certain dogs' teeth.
And it's something you have to start. Yeah, you have to start when they're a baby. You got to start when they were young, because if you wait until an older dog, they may not. They're like, what are you doing? Why are you in my face? Like, get away. But, you know, if you have like a puppy, then you want to start then getting them used to it. They make toothpaste that comes in yummy dog flavors like peanut butter, chicken. They do make it in mint, and I think that's totally for the human because I don't think dogs care about mint. And they also make fish, which maybe was more for the cats, maybe not so much dogs, but or some dogs like fish, I don't know. So, you know, all the pets, dogs and cats, technically should have their teeth brushed. The reality is we don't see it. And so we do see a lot of dental disease, and we do see a lot of toothless old because, you know, they won't lose those teeth.
All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but you did agree to stay on for our after show. So if you guys want to ask more questions, you can join us in the after show and go to TLSfans.com for the after show. But I do want to give you a minute to say any final words or give out any shout outs.
I have to give out, I promise, my Rocky Gorge crew, giving them a shout out. Awesome. Especially my overnight crew, who is so hardworking. It is Veterinary Technician Appreciation Week. So for all of the technicians I have ever worked with over this very long time of a career, I truly appreciate you. You guys have worked so hard. You continue to work hard. You continue to show grace. And I'm so proud that I am in this field with you. And like to shout out, you know, everybody who's tuned in. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, we'll see you in our after show. Thank you, Dr. J, Dr. Rob, and John.
All right.
All right. Great guests as always. Don't forget, go to mypetshenanigans.com. Check out everything there. We'll probably try to get her in for a live chat on mypetshenanigans.com. All right, let's move on into our main topic.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right, Lizzie, you want to talk about this crazy Baldwin shooting.
Yeah, so for those of you who are, you know, followers of current events, pop culture, social media news, I think we all have heard the story about what happened on the set of the movie Rust on Thursday. Just a quick recap. While filming, doing a scene in Albuquerque, New Mexico, this past Thursday on the set of Rust, actor Alec Baldwin accidentally discharged a firearm, killing the cinematographer. I can't pronounce her name, but I think it's Helena Hutchins, striking her in the chest, which eventually killed her, but also striking the director, Joel Souza, in the shoulder. Mr. Souza was in the hospital for a few hours and then was later released. Again, unfortunately, Ms. Hutchins, she was rushed to the hospital where she later died. So this has been like the talk of Tinseltown, the talk of Hollywood, the talk of the nation for the past couple of days, trying to figure out how this could happen. Was it an accidental shooting? Was it something that was more deliberate? If it was an accidental shooting, who was at fault? Why, if there was a live round, why were there live rounds in this particular gun? Was it a prop gun? Was it an actual gun? So my question to the panel, first and foremost, when you heard this story, what was your first response? What did you think? Because I personally, given that Alec Baldwin kind of has had some anger issues in the past, he's been in the news for kind of, you know, having a hot temper and acting inappropriately. I said to myself, my goodness, did he shoot somebody on this set? Mm-hmm. As the story, you know, came out, it's like, oh my God, another accident. So what did you guys think?
Mayor Patrick?
So when I first heard about it, I'm like, oh, I don't know what really happened here. It's hard to say. I wouldn't want to assume that Alec Baldwin himself was culpable for this without knowing more. But you know, as I started thinking about it more, this isn't the first time that something like this has happened on a Hollywood set. I remember all the way back to Brandon Lee, who died. He was dealing with a prop gun. And it exploded and killed him. And there's been a couple other incidents like this over the years. And you really got to think, I mean, how have they not figured this out by now? How have they not figured out how to make it? Mm-hmm. So how to make a realistic looking gun on set that you know, is convincing when you're watching it on the movie, but isn't dangerous to the people using it.
And live
with all the modern technology we have, you know, right. You think that we'd be able to figure this out. I think that to me, it's about the people and the people in Hollywood who, I don't know if they're cutting costs or what reason they haven't been able to do this, so that they haven't been able to put safety standards in place yet so that people aren't getting killed.
And see, I don't think we necessarily know yet because it's an ongoing investigation. Again, this just happened on Thursday. So they're still trying to determine if there was a live round in the gun. But I've been told, even if it was a blank, once it discharges, it still could hit you and cause some type of fatal injury. Mm-hmm. So it like, you know, Patrick just said, like, given all the technology, like, why do we have to go through this process? Why can't we use some type of CGI?
Yeah, you know? I was going to say, I was listening. That's what they suggest these days. I mean, CGI is not perfect, but I mean, it's definitely safer. Robbie? Right.
I mean, they're using the quarter loads or the blank rounds just for special effects needs. It's, you know, if you're looking for that authentic reaction, you know, I get it. There's a reason for it. But as far
the cock
as
of the pistol,
live round, but if it was a live round, that's really problematic because you have a props master. You're supposed to have a weapons expert on set when you're dealing with this. I know that the union that represents the workers, they don't actually have a sign-off from any of their members for this gun being used. So, like Liz said, it's going to be an ongoing issue, or it's an ongoing investigation. Now, this always circles back to loose gun control laws in the U.S. In Canada, we haven't seen this type of fatality. Vancouver is a hub for creating movies in Canada, and these weapons are treated like we treat every other weapon in Canada. When it arrives on set, it's locked up, it's saved, it's certified. When it comes out, I had a former friend who worked for the OPP, who worked on a set. He was the weapons expert. So the OPP is the Ontario Provincial Police, but he was a senior member of the force. And when the prop gun or when the gun was brought out, he did the full inspection. They're responsible for showing the actor that there are no rounds chambered, that this is a completely benign weapon at that point. And then they load the blank round into it so that it can be used for production purposes for shooting. So it's there's so many weird things happening with this production, Liz. I know we're going to get into more of the details, but my initial response, my heart was heavy because this is not something that this is something that can be avoided.
Yeah.
So it's a tragic loss of life, and I can't imagine what Ms. Hutchins' family is going through, what her on-set family is going through, and I can't imagine what Alec Baldwin is feeling and what he has to live with for the rest of his life.
There's a lot of TV.
It's a tragedy.
There's a lot of TV shows and movies out there that have kind of like suggested like conspiracy theories. I'm looking at Mike Winter's comment online. He says the conspiracy theorist in me thinks that someone wanted the drama to happen. Someone has a vendetta against Alec. And I don't know. That was my first thought. I'm gonna be honest. After I thought about it some more, I didn't agree with it. But I have to admit, I mean, there's enough movies and TV shows that have created these scenes where there's been these conspiracy theories where someone dies on set and it was planned out somehow, or the situation was created. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but you know, it could have happened. But there were a lot of issues with safety protocols in general.
I was just going to say, here's something to take note of. So according to an affidavit, there were at least two accidental gun discharges on the set on October 16th, days before this fatal shooting, according to three former members of the film's crew. So apparently this was something that had been going on, not just in Hollywood, but on this specific set, on this specific movie set, on the 16th. In addition to that, apparently there was some type of civil unrest and strife amongst the production, to which several members of the production walked off of the set in protest several days before.
Jeanette Brown was just pointing that out online.
And so it's being alleged that the prop person who was in charge of this gun, the assistant producer who allegedly gave this gun to Alec Baldwin, he screamed out cold, that it wasn't a hot weapon, it was a cold weapon before he gave it to Alec. But that person, they are alleging, may not have been experienced.
When is there ever a need for a hot weapon? That's what I don't understand.
When they load the blank round into it, is considered a hot weapon.
A blank.
Even though it's a non-lethal discharge. There are brass particulates that come off a blank.
Typically non-lethal. Versus a cold weapon being nothing's in there. There's nothing in the chamber anywhere.
And when they call for a hot weapon, that's an indicator to the crew to move to the designated safe spaces.
It's also been asked, the question's been asked, why did he point the weapon in the direction of the cinematographer and the director? And I'm just like, he was pointing at the camera. Even if you look at the picture that we have of this young woman, she's sitting right, you know, with the camera. Not that picture, but the main picture on our advertisement. She's sitting right at the camera. So if he's pointing at the camera to give the effect of, okay, I'm shooting, if something happens, it's going to hit her. It doesn't mean or designate that he was purposely trying, you know, to hit this woman. And that's, you know, a picture allegedly of Alec Baldwin after the incident, you know, obviously, you know, upset. And I, like you guys said, there are a lot of conspiracy theorists out there about this topic. I know, you know, Alec, he's had his issues. You know, he's been sued, he's been fined, he's been suspended for certain things. I was at a Knicks game in Washington, New York once, at the Garden, where he got into a fight, you know, in the audience with some other fans and was kicked out of the Garden. Like, I've seen him up close and personal lose it. However, I don't, now that we hear more about what was going on, I don't think that was the case here. Mm-hmm. I think it was an accident. No. But now it becomes, just as we talked about with Luke Stewart, the question becomes, what if any type of criminal or civil liability applies here? Like, Alec is not only was an actor on this set for this movie, he's also a producer.
What do you think,
Patrick? So could he be held criminally responsible?
Yeah, I mean, I think you really need a full investigation of like what caused this to happen and really a full understanding. One thing that I not to change the subject so abruptly, but interesting to me is the response of right wing Twitter that has gone after Alec Baldwin, because he's known as his impersonation of Donald Trump and is making fun of Donald Trump. How much they've gone after him and really sort of in just a disgusting and inappropriate way given the situation. I mean, it seems like nothing's off limits in politics anymore. That's another conversation.
That's a horrible subset of people in this world. That Trump group of people is just, I mean, they're just horrible people. I mean, I'm not afraid to say it. It's frustrating.
When you consider that there was a loss of life here.
Yeah. Like,
this isn't a joke.
Right.
It was a life loss.
Right.
Here, this is not the time.
It really is tragic. Yeah. It's terrible. And it really hard goes out to the family.
I do, while Gingy is dancing for us, I do want to add this disclaimer. So when Ralph said PPP, I kind of laughed because in my head, I thought OPP from Naughty by Nature. But Rob, I wasn't laughing at you. It just triggered. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Okay. OPP.
Okay.
All right, let's get
down with
comments.
OPP? Yeah.
All right, we got 1 minute for these comments. Ruben Gorin says, based on the information so far, no liability for Baldwin, the actor, potentially for Baldwin, the producer, and props person. Armorer. But still, it's way too soon to say too many details, unsubstantiated.
Right.
He also says, if all the safety protocols are followed, they have figured it out. Definition issue. In the entertainment industry, a blank is a live round two projectile or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, I know Ruben actually works in that industry. Mike Winner, he said, I learned this Thursday. Olivia asked, how did he accidentally fire it? Though I'm curious. And then Ruben explained, we explained that he was firing.
I don't think the firing was an accident. It was the result that was the accident.
Mm-hmm. Karen Thompson says, this unfortunate fatal incident was like a scene from Charlie's Angels. And Jacqueline Robinson says, Hillary was right. They are a basket full of deplorables.
Yeah.
Talking about the repubs. All right. Yeah. Let's ask the question. Is this truth, lies, and shenanigans? Mm. This is a tough one.
It's a really tough one.
There's some shenanigans
with this production.
I'm gonna have to go with shenanigans just because of the production.
If we're talking about what Baldwin said, I really do believe that his heart is broken. Is he?
Oh,
I think it is. I know my heart would be broken.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a picture of him, Patrick, before this incident. I think it was 2 days before. A picture of him with the victim, her husband, and their child. So yeah. I mean, he knew these people. He knew these people. Yeah. So I'm sure he is broken.
All right. That is it for that topic. Thank you, Lizzie, for that. Let's get into our game show.
Thanks, Ruben. I even play this game show?
Why would you?
Chance at winning?
Do you have a chance? Of course, you always have a chance. There's always a chance of winning. All right, so today's game is Ask. The app will present you with random revealing questions, and we ask that you simply answer honestly, and I am the judge that the person answered honestly, and it was a good answer. All right, I feel like so we're going to go. Whoever wins gets the final throw for the show. Are we ready?
Cool.
All right, we're going to go round robin style, and I'm going to start with, I'm going to do a fresh one, and we're going to start with Lizzie. How many people can get drunk by emptying your alcohol stash? How many people can get drunk by emptying your alcohol stash? Lizzie.
Who are you talking to?
It's Lizzie. Oh, Lizzie.
I mean, a lot of homeless folks in Washington D.C. A lot of thirsty folks. So I'm feeding the community.
Somebody's got a hefty stash, clearly. All right, Robbie, what is the biggest plan for Friday night?
What's the best plan for Friday night? Oh, damn! Movie, wings, beer, chilled by the fire.
Love it. All right, Mayor Patrick. How much alcohol do you need to pass out? Boy.
Ooh, Mayor, Mayor.
So I will say, I a couple of weeks ago, I went to Germany for a wedding and had more alcohol than I have had consumed in quite a while. That was really fun. Had a great time. And I did not pass out. It takes a lot to bet to get me to pass out. And I,
I lost track.
you lost track.
To be honest.
All right.
So quite a bit. I'll just leave it at that. Quite a bit.
Quite a bit of work. All right, Lizzie. Would you endure longer without food or without a phone?
I mean, I don't talk on the phone, so.
So you need food.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Robbie.
I'm diabetic. I can't go without food. I can't go without food.
All right. What unusual animal would you like to have, Robbie Rock?
Ooh, a lemur would be fun. Ooh.
A lemur. Interesting. All right. All right.
Rob, I would have said a Gila monster. A Gila monster.
Ooh. Mayor Patrick, do you believe in UFOs?
Yes.
Oh, all right. All right, Lizzie Enders, who or what do you hate most in this world?
I mean, there are several things, but I have to say rats.
Rats? Okay, oh, interesting. All right, didn't expect that one. All right, Robbie Rock, have you ever used dating websites?
Get separated and divorced in your 40s, of course.
Of course.
Of course I've used a dating website. Jesus Christ.
Mayor Patrick, if you came back from the dead as an evil spirit, who would you haunt?
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't have to go with Tucker Carlson.
I love that one. That's awesome. All right, this is the last round. Last round. Lizzie, if you were a superhero, what would your powers be? You've gotten this before. What would your powers be?
You want to give me another one?
Sure, I'll give you
another one. Kalima.
What is the name of your imaginary friend, Lizzie? What is the name of your imaginary friend?
This week? This week, I'm going to say, and this is for Mike Winner, Tom Wilson.
Tom Wilson is your imaginary
Tom
friend.
Tom Wilson.
All right. Robbie Rock, what do you keep in your bedside table?
My melatonin, my keys, junk drawer with a few essentials.
All right. And the last question, what is the weirdest place you've fallen asleep, Mayor Patrick?
I have to say
on
the Boston.
Germany story again?
Germany story. In Germany.
I have to say on the tea in Boston once. I fell asleep. I was heading back to where I was staying and I was late at night and I fell asleep and I woke up completely at the end of the line.
Oh wow.
I don't know. Maybe boring, but
it works.
I have a request.
What's that?
I would like everyone to answer that first question because I think that's funny. What's the lie you guys have ever told?
The biggest lie?
Mm-hmm. That was the first question that got erased.
I think, I'll volunteer for that one. So for a while, I smoked cigarettes when I was young. This was back in high school. I started when I was in Germany as an exchange student for a year because pretty much everybody smoked there. And my mom once asked me, she washed my jacket. And found a pack of cigarettes. And my mom is very anti-smoking. And she asked me, you know, of course I can't try to come up with anything I could, but she asked me, there was no way I could lie to my mom. But I tried to make something up anyway and told her that I had like found the cigarettes or something. Of course it was.
Did she believe you? So
no. Of course. Not at all. My mom knows me too well. She knows when I'm lying. So.
All right. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so we're gonna close out with that answer. We're gonna close out there. Thank you very much, Patrick. And Patrick wins the game since he answered the last question. All right, let's get into some shout-outs. All right, Mayor Patrick, any shout-outs?
I want to do a shout out. So this has been a challenging time. I think the last time it's been a while since I've been on with you all. But I really just want to do a shout out to all the city staff in College Park who have done an amazing job of keeping things going through the pandemic. But I want to say, you know, all public employees who have had to deal with this challenging time that we've been going through. Our healthcare workers, our public works, the people who pick up our trash, the people who are code enforcement, even though everybody loves to hate the parking enforcement officers, but even our parking enforcement officers who without them you would be in deep trouble and never be able to find it.
All right, Robbie Rock.
Shout out to everyone that wakes up in the morning, decides that they're going to make a difference. It's it can be something so simple, but you know, just that motivation, that good intention every day to make some small difference and hoping that it's a positive contribution. That's the one I'm erring on.
All right, Lizzie.
Shout out to my dear friend, my brother, BJ Schechter, and his family. BJ lost his father on Thursday after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. So hugs, love, and light to BJ and his entire family.
I'm sorry to hear that. All right, my shout out goes out to Jose this week. Jose took over guest management for TLS, and she's really been coming up with some awesome guests for our audience, for you guys, organizing everything, make sure they have everything they need. So thank you so much, Jose, for all that you do. And of course, our final shout out of the week goes to our pet shenanigans winner. Apparently, you guys voted for my mini Bernedoodles, River and Phoenix. In this picture here, we're sitting on the porch and Phoenix is sitting in my lap while River is sitting on the couch beside me with his head on my leg. So,
Two pups in a Bama. Love it.
My couch cushions have the same pattern, or the throw pillows for my couch have the same pattern.
All right, to see all these photos and all of your pets, all of the pets, post your video on Pet Shenanigans, TLS Pet Shenanigans Facebook group, mypetshenanigans.com. The photo with the most likes and comments gets a shout out each and every week. And that is officially all the time we have for today's show. I'd like to thank all of you guys for joining us. We hope that maybe you learned something, gained a new perspective, or even got some things off your chest. Now, we will be streaming live next week, Sunday, October 31st, 4 p.m. Eastern. It's Halloween, and we'll be having a fun Halloween party and telling scary stories with author Erica Lewis. Don't forget, the audio version of the podcast is available every Monday evening after 6 p.m. And the party is not over. We're going to continue to keep the cameras rolling for our after show exclusively on the TLSFans.com Facebook group. That's TLSFans.com. And our winner for the final thought today is Mr. Mayor Patrick Williams.
He's the mayor.
Close us out, Mayor.
Thanks. All right. So final thought. I just want to encourage everyone to be sure to vote. There's some big elections coming up next week in Virginia and other places around the country. And also here in College Park, we have an election. I'm up for re-election. I'm actually uncontested. So I think I have that thing. I'm not going to make any problem, but I think I have this one in the bag. But I want to say, you know, even if you're in a place where you know where there's no contest or the winner's pretty much already decided, it's still important to go out and vote and make a habit of it. You should make sure to go out and vote every time there's an election that you can vote in, because it is so important, because there's all these threats going on to our democracy right now around the country. Yeah. Laws that people are trying to make pass to make it more restrictive to vote. So unless you get out and vote every time you can, that right might be taken away from you.
And people forget how important local elections are. So get out and vote. Exactly. I love that final thought.
Exactly.
All right. So thank you, Lizzie, Mayor Patrick, Robbie Rock, and all our people behind the scenes, always working hard to bring you an awesome show. Gianni, Ellen, Nesmi, Jose, and Olivia E. But most importantly, I want to thank you for watching and listening to our shenanigans each and every week. And we will see you next time.